It's great to finish up the signing class, signing period number two. Had not quite as many as the first one, which is kind of the way this thing is going, but nonetheless dramatic. As far as not really dramatic, but you always got those same nerves, no matter how many, if you're signing one or you're signing 21. It doesn't matter, or 23 or whatever it may be. But you know, I thought we did a real good job, and I like to say, I think our assistant coaches did a tremendous job. I think across the board in all the positions and the things they did, our coaches did a good job of. Man, what I think they do a great job of is personal relationships. They go out and spend time, and they do things the right way. And going through the coaches and the straight line recruiting that is involved here in Texas, and going through the coaches themselves, and then branching off into the families of those kids. But then the coaches in Texas were outstanding to deal with. They're very professional, do a great job, and promote their kids very well, and easy to communicate with. It's one of the best ones. But our coaches did a great job, and also our players. I think our players did a tremendous job when they were hosting kids. Listen, you can talk about recruiting all you want and give coaches credit. When players get to schools and they spend time and they take official visits and they get around your players, make no mistake that players are going to tell them what's going on in the program. Our players did a good job of – they believe in what we're doing, how we're doing it, and they sold our program and wanted these guys to be teammates of them. And, you know, your players are just as big a part of recruiting as any of the coaches and everything else is. And then, of course, you got a great product to sell in Texas A&M as far as the culture of the people, the education, the commitment to athletics, and then life after ball with the Aggie ring. We have a lot to sell. And to our coaches, this school, and our players, I thought we did a tremendous job of doing that. And then the coaches made it outstanding to be able to work through them and go into straight line recruiting right through them. And then the coaches did a good job out of state. We were able to get players from other places, being able to target guys and get great players that we think come in here. And then I think we went across the board at all positions. We have a need. Like I said, we had needs at all positions. We have to build depth. We have to build great players, and we did that. So very excited about this group. Now we got to get them coached and get them in school and make sure everything dotting the I's, crossing the T's. And we've already had 13 of them come in early and in midterm, so that a lot of those guys, that process has already started. So great to have them. Yes, sir.
To the right, Gabe, and then to the left, Sam.
Coach, what does McKinley Jackson add to an already loaded defensive tackle group and defensive line haul, and how unique is his combination of size and strength and explosiveness?
Well, you know, we all know what the guys who put their hand in the dirt both ways, or they determine. You got to have great skill, and you got to have corners, you got to have linebackers. But those guys up front, when they can be disruptive, they cause fumbles, they cause negative plays, they have sacks. And then you have to double team it, freeze guys up, and guys that can cause disruption inside. McKinley has a very unique skill set in it. He's big and physical, is a tremendous run player, very powerful, but extremely athletic, and can generate pass rush with your interior. And then not all your interior guys are great. I mean, they can push pocket, which he can do, but he can also swim you. He's got great body quickness to be able to one-on-one pass rush you and create plays that way. So anytime you get a guy of that stature inside and it can be that disruptive and demand double teams and the things he goes on, and you know, as he develops, we think he's going to be an outstanding player.
To the left, Sam, and then Brent.
Jimbo, 14 of the 25 signees from out of state. I'm curious why and how it broke that particular way.
Just the way it goes. I mean, we're always going to recruit inside out in Texas. We're always going to recruit the players in Texas and, you know, target the guys that we think we can win an SEC championship with and a national championship with. And there's plenty of them in Texas. And we recruited the heck out of them. Got a lot of guys we want, a lot of top guys. But some guys elect, you know, they don't come here. I mean, some guys, you know, go to other schools. They leave the state of Texas or they go to other schools. So, I mean, that's part of recruiting. But we're trying to get everybody in Texas. But also, we're not going to limit ourselves to Texas, because you got to be able, there's a lot of players across this board. And we're in a global world now. People travel, things, accessibility, and you build that Texas A&M brand outside of here, and people really see what this school has to offer. Like I said, from a cultural standpoint, from the unbelievable academics in which you have, from the commitment to athletics, for the coaching staff we have here, the way we're building things, the 12th man, all the things that go on in life after ball at Texas A&M is very attractive, and kids are willing to see that and get involved in it. So all the way across the country. So, you know, we're always going to work inside out because we have a tremendous state, tremendous high school coaches to go through, but also – I say you get all the guys you can, and if you don't, and if those don't, you expand your brand outside, and we're able to do that right now and doing it very well.
And you mentioned a couple times in your opening about straight line recruiting. I know that's something the Texas High School Coach Association has stressed the last 2 years, but on the flip side, you do have to build a relationship with people who are close to the prospect, which may include other people. What's your approach on
that? Exactly. You always go to the coach, and you go to the person, you go to the coach and to the school, the administration, and everything that goes on with that school, and then you identify what family members and people who are involved in the process, and you got to include them all, because you have to. That's the information the young man is getting. So you have to keep everybody in the loop. But they're always in the loop of who we're recruiting, how we're recruiting, and what's going on with each individual in their school.
down front, Brent.
Wanted to ask you about a recruit who signed out of his state. How proud are you of Trey and signing with UT?
It was good. It was a very good day for him. He had some choices of some schools, and it was fun to be a dad and be on the other end of that. You know what I mean? And let him make choices. And sometimes, like I say, you're on this end of it so much that you're able to sit back. And I tried to not, if guidance needed guidance, but if not, let him make his own mind up. He has to learn to make choices, and I think he made a great choice to be able to go there. And the people there were wonderful, and he took his visits to some places, and I think he'll have a great career there. I'm very proud of him. I mean, I love him to death, and he's a young man who's very mature, above his years. He really is, and I'm very proud to be his dad.
To the right, Olin, then to the left, Travis.
Yeah, Jimbo, when did you know that you were going to be able to get McKinley?
All about time he picked that hat up. I mean, we felt good about it. I mean, we felt we were in it because I'm going to say this about McKinley. He's a very, very mature young man, very observant, and has a tremendous moral compass. I'm going to say that. Has a tremendous moral compass about who he is, what he wants, and how he wants it, and where he wants to go, and how he wants to get there. And did things the right way and was always up front, and we felt that way with him. And Elijah knows and did a tremendous job of building a great relationship with him. You know, I've known McKinley for a long time. He actually came to my camp at Florida State back when he was a freshman, and you knew then he put on a show that day. I mean, we knew then and always had a relationship and tried to recruit him. But Elijah did a tremendous job with him in their relationship. And McKinley's always been very up straight and honest about what he thinks, how he thinks with us, and was a joy to recruit. And like I say, he's 18 going on 30, as I say. I mean, but gets things, really mature and has and knows what he wants and how he wants it done. And but you never know. Listen, I've been in this business a long time. Till they actually say it and send in those papers, you're a nervous wreck. I don't care how many times they say it, and it's not that you don't trust them. It's not you don't always trust them. You don't ever know what's going on around them, and the different things and different and pressure situations come and somebody gets in somebody's ear and things like that. But felt very confident with him for a while, but you never know.
To the left, Travis, and then Zach.
Shifting gears for a second, you had three new assistant coaches to the staff. What do those guys bring, and what has it been like recruiting coaches who are recruiting players all at the same time?
it's a never-ending process, I'll say that. It goes, but I think the guys and which we brought in are tremendous guys. I think, James I've known for a long time, very knowledgeable guy. I'm a coordinator, been a coordinator a long time, knew that out of high school, very successful high school coach, assistant coach, can coach all the positions on offense, gets the coordinator role, and tremendous recruiter, tremendous person, can create relationships, very intelligent guy. TJ, outstanding, very impressed with him in limited times. I've known him, have a lot of very people I respect a lot, spoke very highly of him, has done it himself as a player, has done it as a student athlete at Stanford and understanding the things that go with that, playing in the NFL, winning a Super Bowl, being a very productive player there, coaching guys to get to that level, very successful and communicates well, great person, very knowledgeable of the game. I mean, outstanding. Santucci knew that when he was here. Mike had brought him in, we interviewed him to be an off-the-field guy. Really, you could see his football intellect, his ability to communicate, his ability to build relationships, very down-to-earth guy, gets the big picture. And to be able to get him back, it was tremendous. I think he'll help us in a lot of recruiting and coaching and just a hard-working blue-collar guy who all those guys are. They work hard and good people, and very blessed to have them.
Staying to the left, Zach.
Jimbo, with the running back core being as thin as it is, at least mm-hmm. with the returning guys, so signing Hubbard, how big was that, one, to add to your numbers, and two, the talent that he brings?
Well, I mean, he was a big guy who lost. He was a 215 to 20-pound guy when he committed to Ohio State early. And then he lost down to about 206 to 208. And, I mean, really, his body quickness, change of direction, and things that really enhance him. And he's going to get bigger like that, but I think he's got a little bit big quick. Great hands, very instinctive runner, runs with great leverage and power, strong, physical, very intelligent guy, good athlete, man. We were on him for a long time and I've thought the world of him. And, of course, you need depth there, but you take him no matter how many backs you got.
To the right, Gabe, then we'll go to the back left.
We didn't get a chance to ask you about the linebacker out of Louisiana, Edgerrin Cooper, last time because then he signed a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But what can you tell us about this and the going to Louisiana to get a top five player in that state?
It was. I mean, one, he very athletic, very long, very explosive, really good basketball player. I mean, I'm talking about a guy who scored 20, 25 a game, dunks it three or four times in a game. But then you watch him on offense play tailback the way he runs with the ball skills. is really a defensive player who's an offensive player, and that some of the best defensive players I've ever been around are guys that were really offensive players that have the ball skills and that balanced body control that, you know, can pick up fumbles, intercept balls, do those kind of things. I mean, those are your guys that really, really excel to me. Not the other guys don't, but when you got those ball skills and that knack to play offense, you can do both sides. An understanding of the game, I think it helps, but I think that skill set is tremendous. This guy's long, athletic, going to be a big guy, very long features. Outstanding guy that I think will be a great run stopper, great space player, and also a great coverage guy.
Back left, Mike, and then Ola.
Coach, kind of picking off the running back situation, you brought in a couple with this class. How versatile and different are they, and how excited are you about the process?
I am. I mean, they all can catch the ball, but they all have different skill sets. And, you know, Isaiah had a great year, big and physical and strong. Really watch him grow. It's amazing how those guys can grow in that second year, hopefully, and especially after being on the field and going through all that. Anias, back there, you saw us put him in the bowl game, and we were going to leave him back there. We're going to leave him back there and let him play. He is natural back there as the day is long and can run that football. He's 192 pounds right now. He'll end up being a 195, 96-pound guy that can carry it, but also go out there and not just catch the ball as a back, but can run routes. And there's a big difference in that, how you can match him up and the things he can do. I think his skill set really allows you to do a lot of things. And then bringing Hubbard in, a little bit bigger, not quite as big as Isaiah, but in that skill set, great change of direction, hands, inside tackle runner. And Anias. Anias is a great tackle-to-tackle runner. Did it in Canton, you know, and you saw it in the bowl game, but, I mean, really did it and blocked well. So I think we're off to a good start with that group.
Right side, Olin, and then Sam.
Jimbo, you lost Justin Matabike to the NFL, but so
thanks for reminding me.
With all the with this class and the guys you have coming, A, how do you feel about the just the defensive tackle group now? And then, B, will that ensure that – I know it's early, but would you suspect that will ensure that DeMarvin would stay at end?
Well, I mean, you know, first of all, love our guys inside. You can't have enough guys. You have to have a rotation in there. Those guys get banged. They get bruised. Different guys can do different skill sets. It'd be noses, be shades, be threes, be four eyes. Some of those guys are athletic enough to go out and play fives and sixes and sevens. So you have a great depth of guys there, size differential. But the guys who put their hand in the dirt, guys change the game. You got to have them. And there's all different skill sets of that group, which is we're building and we think have a really good group. With DeMarvin, DeMarvin can play anywhere. This guy is a heck of a football player. He'll play it. He can play it in, but he can go in there at three technique. He can go in there at four. He's a guy where you can match up at different places when we have to, by depending what packages we have in the game, where it's third down or rush down games, or even, you know, you want his quickness, athleticism, and power in there. He can play anywhere, but he'll definitely stay at end at times, and he'll be moved to where he has to be moved to. But it, you know, I think DeMarvin has a tremendous future ahead of him.
Left, Sam.
Jimbo, more than half your class is early enrollees. Was that strategic on your part, or just how it ended up?
It ends up, but it's almost you don't have a choice. I mean, which I love. I mean, I don't ever tell a kid, does it help? I think it does, but at the same time, go enjoy high school. If you've got different sports you're playing, you want to enjoy that semester. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we have a lot of the guys that started last year as true freshmen that didn't come early. So I mean, it doesn't matter, but. At the same time, you know, guys are getting extra education. You're getting extra semester. You're getting the understanding. Even if in spring, if you're a little bit off, you still get through a fourth quarter condition. You got through a spring ball. So when summer and fall comes, you're not running around here lost and understand the way things go. And your development can even happen that much greater. And we get you in the strength conditioning program. And we get you in our training room and take care of injuries and things that, you know, you may have had in the past. So it is. And it's becoming more normal than abnormal. And that's just the way the world's going. So, you know, and to me, these kids, they leave early. They all want to leave early, and they want to do that. But you get extra education that way, and it helps.
Time for a couple more down front. Brent?
13 on offense, 12 on defense. It's very balanced.
Yes.
Do you set out to do that, or does it just kind of happen that way?
Well, sometimes? It just depends on need. I mean, we have a certain number of needs in which we go after. But then at the end, I'm not going to take a need at a position if there's a greater player at another position. And, you know, when you get to the end, you have certain guys. Like I say, I don't care how many of what position you got. There's certain guys that change the game. You're going to take them. You know what I mean? I don't care. It's you. You may have three very good receivers, but if there's a guy that changes the game, you take him. If it's a corner, if it's a D lineman, if it's a DN, you know, you have those the way you rank players. I mean, guys that you think are elite guys, and sometimes that will skew your numbers. But the other times, you got to look at your depth, your numbers are what you have, and you target things. But you're never going to turn down a great player at anywhere, especially guys that put their hand in the dirt.
Anything else down front, Brent?
Been a few changes in the SEC West. It seems like Mississippi has gotten a lot more interesting, talking about the state, How well do you know Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach, and could you just
I know Lane relatively well. I mean, not real well, but I've had acquaintances. He's been great. I mean, very good football mind, coaches very well, has been successful as an offensive coordinator and head coach. I mean, so he's gonna bring them name recognition and players and things there. And Mike, I don't know, but have great respect for. Guy's been successful wherever he's been. He's won. Has his style of the way of doing things, and you know, very, very successful wherever he's been. So I mean, it's going to add again. The SEC West just keep adding to it. I mean, it's as good as it gets. Every week will be interesting, that's for sure.
Last two will be Justin, and then Sam. You'll wrap us up,
Coach. You mentioned game changers and keeping Smith at running back. You bring in a chain. You got Demas in this class. How fun is it going to be for you this spring to kind of?
A chain, I mean, that's the thing, Joe, and I meant to mention him before, and I was talking about those, but a chain is a guy like that, too. I mean, you can put in the backfield, you get him his carries, you can get him flexed out, you can get him reverses, you can get him returns. Those guys can change numbers in the scoreboard, and the diversity at that position, I think, is going to be really good, and he's got a very unique skill set. So I'm excited about our guys. I think we've gotten a very good group of guys in that group.
All right, Sam, you wrap us up.
Jimbo, we're a few years now into this new recruiting role with, you know, the two signing periods mm-hmm. and such. Having gone through a few cycles of it now, I'm curious what stands out to you and what things would you change if you could?
You better have your guys ready in the first signing because that's when most of them are going. I mean, and I get it. I mean, that's the way it is. And it's a great relief when it's over because you have a certain limited number of guys in the end. It makes January you can target guys and work on your future classes, which I think is good because of the advancement, how advanced these kids are getting and making decisions and where they are in their recruiting process. I think that does help you. I mean, it makes it heck, you know, makes it tough as heck. You know, coming off a bowl game, you're getting ready for a bowl game, you're having signing day and all those type of things. And for coaching changes, it makes it very difficult. I went through that 2 years ago. Remember I said, I mean, it's a very tough thing, but at the same time, there's a lot of good to it. I mean, it really is. Like I said before, I wouldn't mind it at the end of August where you can do some things for the coaches during the season, but July, you know, before you go in. But at the same time, I do think it's good and it's going to stay and, you know, get you going to the next classes and what you have to do, but you got to be ready to have them ready to roll when December comes, because it seems like it's 90% probably or more, probably higher than that. What I say, I don't know if that's true or not, but the numbers would be close to that.